Which is the greater motivator for you? For the decisions that you make throughout your days, is the greater motivator to please yourself or to please God? When you are able to decide how you're going to spend your time, is the decision you make on how you're going to spend that time more based on what would please or bring enjoyment or relaxation to yourself? Or is it more based on what you know would most honor and glorify God? Or at other times, when it's not a matter of being able to decide how you use your time, when there are some things that just have to be done, what decides the attitude and the motivation that it's done with? Does it make a difference who's watching and who's around when you're doing these things? Does it make a difference about what the personal rewards may or may not be as you do the things that you do throughout the week? As you think about that, we are moving forward into the next section of the Sermon on the Mount that begins in Matthew chapter 6. And what we have seen so far as we have been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount is that those who know God and follow Jesus Christ should be living lives that are very different from the world around us. And Jesus has been making comparisons between those who are his followers and others. Primarily the comparison has been with those such as the Pharisees. Pharisees were very religious people who thought themselves to be very righteous, but the fact was they really weren't all that different from the rest of the world. The Pharisees, though they were very religious, lived their lives to please their flesh, just like everybody else. They just did it in a very religious way. They tried to find justification in God's word for the things that they wanted to do anyway. And they did that by misinterpreting God's word and twisting God's law so that it would fit their fleshly desires. It was their convenient theology to try to find in Scripture justification to live the lives they wanted to live. But if you follow Christ, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ alone, you have a much higher standard. Our standard as followers of Christ isn't what our flesh wants. It's what God's word says and what he actually means by what he said in his word, not what our flesh would like him to mean by what he said. So as we move on now into chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus drills down even deeper. He goes beyond our mental interpretation of God's word and our physical application of God's word to now, what about your motives? Why do you do what you do? Even when there's something that you do that is outwardly good, why are you doing it? Last time we were here in Matthew, we looked at the command to love your enemies. Well, that's hard. Now, if we do that, we also have to consider why. Why are we doing it? What is our motive in doing this good thing? Now, the Pharisees sometimes did the right things outwardly, but God knew where their hearts were. And Jesus said that they did those right things for the wrong reasons, which made them still wrong. There are some people in this world that are bad people who do bad things. But not everybody. Not everybody in this world is an axe murderer. There are many who have not believed in Jesus Christ. Many who we know personally, probably, who do nice things, who live morally, outwardly, decent lives. But why? What's the motive? What motivates those who do those good things, but are still rejecting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What's the motive? Is it ultimately to please themselves, or is it to please, honor, and glorify God in heaven? Then again, what about us? What about us? What's our motives in the things that we do? Well, the scripture that we're looking at today should make us do some hard thinking about our motives. Where our hearts really are. What our relationship with God really is, by making us ask ourselves, why do we do the things that we do? I hadn't originally planned on this, but Psalm 100 that we looked at last week, we spent the last 2 weeks memorizing together, actually fits pretty well with what we're looking at this morning. When we serve the Lord with gladness, why are we doing it? Maybe I should say, when we serve the Lord, if we're doing it with gladness, why? What would bring us to that point? What would make us glad to serve our Lord? Why would we put ourselves out and sacrifice our time, sacrifice our money, sacrifice our possessions to do something for God and then be happy about it? Why would we do that? Well, Psalm 100 gave us the motivation. Why? Because we know. Because we know God. Because we know the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now that is a great motivation if we know that. If we take that into consideration in the circumstances we go through in this life, it's a great motivator to serve the Lord with gladness. So why do what you do? Well, verse 1 of Matthew chapter 6 is an introduction to the next section that goes through verse 18 of Matthew chapter 6. And so we're going to be looking at these verses over the next few weeks, Lord willing. And so we need to get verse 1 drilled into our minds, our memories, because verse 1 gives us the main point of everything up through verse 18. This is the main point of this whole section here. Verse 1. Beware of doing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And Jesus gives three examples of how this can happen. Beware of doing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. When you give, when you pray, and when you fast. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, what's your motivation? Why do you do it? Well, maybe the first thing that we should get out of the way as we consider what's said here in verse 1 is to ask, what's different about this and what Jesus said back in chapter 5, verse 16? In chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And so there in chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus is saying that we should want people to see that we're different. Want people to see good works that we do. But now here in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, beware of doing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Now on the surface, that looks like a contradiction, doesn't it? Is it? No. It's not. Scripture doesn't contradict Scripture. Jesus doesn't contradict himself. So what's the difference? Well, primarily, it's a difference of motives. Why are you doing what you're doing? Let your light shine as someone who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. So when the world sees that your faith in Christ has changed you, they'll look at you But you will redirect their look to Christ. And God will get the glory, not you. And to understand the difference between 5:16 and 6:1, we need to realize and remember that we are not here to receive glory. That's not what God has us here for. We're not here for us to be thought well of. We are here to give glory where it is deserved. And it is deserved by God alone. That's why we're here. So someone sees something good that you do, or someone who is a beneficiary of a good deed that you have done, and they say something to you about, wow, you are good. You're a good person. Do you say, and you're so right for noticing? Or do you say, no, God is good. I'm his servant. You should get to know him. It's not me, it's God. That's the difference between 5:16 and 6:1. What's your motive? What we see in chapter 6, verse 1 and the following verses is a warning against doing good for the purpose of receiving praise from others instead of directing the glory to God. That's the problem being addressed here in chapter 6. We are to do what is right. If you have a choice to make between doing something wrong or something right, what should we do? Obviously, we should do the right thing. If we have an opportunity to be a blessing to someone, to serve others, to give to someone who is in need, what should we do? Well, we should do it. As followers of Christ, we are to do good works because we have received salvation, not so we can receive salvation. There is a purpose for good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, God prepared good works for those who are saved to walk in them. So it's expected of followers of Jesus Christ to do righteousness, as it says here in Matthew 6, 1. But what's your motivation? Is it to receive the praise of man, or is it to glorify God? The rest of verse 1 says, otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So if we do something that would be perceived as good by those who see it, and we do it because we want to be thought well of by those people, Jesus says there will be no reward for that from God in heaven. Now, something we see here in verse 1 in the next few verses is that when we do something good, quote unquote, there is a reward for it. The reward will either be received only here in this life, or it will be waiting for us in heaven. If it's received only here, given only by man, that reward will be very temporary. It will be very fleeting, comparatively insignificant, and it will rob God of the glory that he deserves. And it will actually be detrimental to us. Because if we do what we do to be praised by man, and they give that praise, it will feed our flesh, and it will suppress the working of the Holy Spirit in us. So doing things for the praise of man, if that's our motive, it may seem desirable. It may seem like a good thing for others to praise you and to think how wonderful you are. But if that's what we're after, it's not good. It's not good for us. It robs God of his glory. It robs us of a far better reward from our Father who is in heaven. But Jesus goes on and gives us an example of what he means. Our first example in verses 2 through 4. He gives this example by giving us it in a negative sense in verse 2, and an explanation of the right way in verses 3 and 4. Here's the wrong way, verse 2. Therefore, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be glorified by men. Truly, I say to you, they have the reward in full. Now, something that the very religious people of Israel, like the Pharisees, did was to give to the poor. They did that. There were a lot of poor people in that day. There were some who were very poor, like especially those who were disabled in some way. We read in the Bible of some who were crippled and couldn't walk. We read of some who were blind. Someone in a situation like that, they could not work. If they did not have family who was in a position to be able to help take care of them, they could be in a really bad situation. There weren't government programs that the taxes that they paid went toward to help in those kinds of situations. So it could get really bad. But in the law that God gave to Israel, God commanded some things about taking care of those who were in need. So the Pharisees, those very religious people, they were willing to give to those who were in need as long as someone was around to see it. I thought I had heard at some point or read somewhere in the past that it was actually a practice of Pharisees and others to have someone blow a trumpet when they gave. As I dug into this more for this message, what I found was that so far no evidence has been found that they literally blew trumpets to announce their giving, but they may have. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did, from what we do know about the Pharisees. But it's possible that Jesus is speaking figuratively here. Using something like we use today about blowing your own horn. Hey, that might be really what Jesus is talking about here. So at least in some way, we don't know exactly how, but some way they made a production of their giving. They wanted to make sure that people saw how generous they were. They wanted to make sure that people saw them obeying God's law so that people would admire them. So people would notice how righteous they are. That was their motivation. But if there was a needy person on an otherwise deserted street, or something like the injured man in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan who is beat up and left out on a road out in the middle of nowhere, if there wasn't anyone else around to see the good deed, it wasn't worth doing. They'd pass by on the other side. But if there was a crowd around, well, Pharisee would be glad to help. He'd step right in there and lend a helping hand, give some money, whatever was needed. And the people who see them do it might admire them for their service. And that's why they did it. It was to be seen by men so they could receive the praise of men. To that, Jesus said, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Jesus says, that's it. You did your job, you got your pay. Somebody slapped you on the back and said, attaboy. If that's the person's motive for giving, well, you got it. But that's it. That's your reward. Hope you enjoyed it. There's nothing more. The Pharisees, the priests, whoever else in that day did those good things, like giving to the poor in ways that they could be seen and praised by others, and thought that they were also storing up credit with God and earning their way into His favor, they were very mistaken. If they did it for the praise of man, they got the praise of man. But that was it. God wasn't impressed. Being generous, being a giving person, that's good. God wants us to be generous. He wants us to give. He wants us to give to the poor. He wants us to help those who we know are in need. But again, when you do, what's your motivation? Jesus says, here's the right way, verses 3 and 4. In verse 2, here's how they do it. Here's how the world does it. Here's how the Pharisees do it. Verse 3, but when you give to the poor. Here's how you do it. When you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now remember, this is just one of the examples of doing your righteousness from verse 1. Our righteousness, our good deeds of any kind, are not to be done for the praise of man. In this example, when you give to the poor, here's how it should be done. Your motive for doing it should be so much in the opposite direction of wanting to be noticed and praised by man that you might be so subtle in the way that you give that your left hand might not even notice that your right hand gave that money. And if your left hand didn't even see your right hand do it, there's a good chance nobody else saw it either. And that's okay. Now, I don't believe that Jesus is giving a new law here, that whenever you give an offering or give to someone in need, that you have to keep your left hand in your pocket or behind your back in order to give with your right hand. Or if you are writing a check, that you probably better do it with one eye closed. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What he means is, instead of going out of your way to make sure people notice what a generous person you are, maybe go out of your way to bless someone without anybody knowing about it. Be generous. And be okay with no one slapping you on the back and telling you what a great person you are. Because that's not why you're being generous. It's not to be seen. I apologize for making things awkward, but I think there are some good examples of this in this body. I've commented often and to many people about how generous you are. But as far as individuals, I don't know. I don't know who is. Because I have almost nothing to do with the offerings. I rarely see it at all. I don't know who gives. I don't know who doesn't. I don't know how much. When we made the switch a while ago, because of COVID, to having a box in the back instead of passing the bag around, I mentioned it a couple of times at the beginning when we were getting used to it, just so we knew it was there. But I don't know if you've noticed, I haven't mentioned it at all for a long time now. But nothing's changed. We're not hurting because we don't keep reminding over and over. Generosity is still there. The money still comes in. Needs are still met. Some have commented about liking the box better because it gives less of an impression that we're asking for money. And you can put it in whenever you want and nobody can necessarily see you doing it. And nobody's really commented to the contrary, so we might keep doing it like this. I don't know. But it's good that we can. It's good if we don't have to be seen. To be praised. Now, I know there are organizations, I've heard about ministries, I don't know of any off the top of my head, but they have plaques on their walls with names of their big donors. The bigger the donation, the bigger your name on the plaque. And we shouldn't need that for a motivation. We shouldn't even want something like that for us to be generous and to give to those who are in need. We don't give to get our names engraved for people to see it and praise us for. So if we do what Jesus says here in verses 1-4, you might give. Sometimes we might give even very sacrificially, meaning that sometimes we may have to give up some things that we may want in order to give to help somebody else. And we may not be thanked for it. Remember, this is just one example of the overall attitude that we are to have about our serving and everything that we do for the Lord. So if we do what Jesus says, we might do a lot of things for the Lord without being recognized or thanked. It could even be possible that some may assume some wrong things about you sometimes. Sometimes there could be some nosy people who might assume that you're not doing very much in service to the Lord. They may assume you're not a very generous person because you aren't blowing your horn about it. But according to what Jesus says, that's okay. Because that's not why we're doing it. And those people who might be thinking these things about you, they aren't the ones in charge of keeping the books that matter. God is. God is the bookkeeper for the times that it matters. And look at what Jesus says at the end of verse 4. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now what Jesus is talking about here should be obvious. It is not about how salvation is gained. That is not what Jesus is talking about. Salvation, being saved from our sins, is only by grace, which means it is an undeserved gift. It is not earned. Through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Not by any works of righteousness which we have done. The scriptures are very clear about that. But Jesus is talking here about rewards given by God in heaven to those who have been saved. And after being saved, they have served the Lord with the right motives. Not for recognition by man, but serving with gladness. Why would we serve with gladness? Because God is worthy. God is worthy of our service. We know that Yahweh is God. We know that He made us, not we ourselves. We know that we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That's why we want to serve Him. Not to be praised by man. Because we know who God is. That's why we should be generous to the poor. We do it for Him. We do it for His glory. Should make a bit of difference to us if someone sees us and congratulates us for it. The opinions of man are way down here in importance. I'd touch the floor, but you wouldn't see me do it behind the pulpit. That's how low in importance the opinions of man is. The opportunity to glorify God who made us and God who cares for us as the good shepherd, that is higher than I can reach in importance in comparison to the opinions of man. If God is pleased, that's what matters, regardless of what man thinks. And if it will even result in reward from God, as Jesus says here at the end of verse 4, compared to only receiving glory from man, well, the right way is pretty clear, isn't it? See, the Pharisees did what the world did. The Pharisees, along with the world, were very man-centered. They craved the approval of man. They were motivated to do what was good in the watching world's eyes so that they could receive congratulations from man. Jesus says, for his followers, we are to be very different. That our motives are to come from a completely different source. That we are to be motivated by a desire for the glory of our good God. A desire to be pleasing in his sight. And if we as sinful humans can be in a position where we are pleasing to our God, that's far greater reward than anything man can give. And that's why we should do what we do.